What's going on here? Why is this thing?
Volume shake.
This thing make a noise.
Good morning, colleague.
Good morning, honorable members.
There is a strange sound that I can also pick up, Chairperson.
My apologies. Good morning, honorable members.
Good morning, honorable Chairperson and honorable members.
Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, I'm having a problem with network. I'm going to ask that the WIP just starts with and then also the minutes so that I can just move to good morning, honorable minister.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, the honourable members.
Good morning, my minister. Good morning, National Commissioner. Do we have our National Commissioner?
I see Lieutenant General Setlapane rather than the National Commissioner, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Minister. Sometimes, you know, they join with another name, so I'm not always sure. The Deputy Minister? I don't see the Deputy Minister.
Morning, I'm here, Chair. Morning, Minister. Morning, members.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, honorable members. We've had a long recess, so I really would like to welcome you all back. Welcome back,
recording in progress.
Honorable Patrain, who's back from maternity leave. I don't know if Honorable Majozi, how long her maternity leave is still there. We welcome the young ones to our committee. Our committee is getting bigger with all the junior members. They become part of the meetings because we know our members then have to share their time correctly so with the young ones. Honorable Whip, could you just please take the approval of the agenda and the approval of the last minutes? I'm going to move to another spot now. Thank you. Honorable Wu. Honorable Wu.
Yes, Chair.
Is your network okay?
Much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Babalwa, can we have the agenda? Okay, the agenda is on the screen. Can I get a mover for the agenda?
I move as Linda Moss.
I say.
Agenda moved and seconded. Are they okay? Let's move on. Can we have apologies? Babalwa.
Good morning, WIP. Good morning, members. WIP, I received two apologies from Honorable Molefa Shelby, attending the PC on Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. Rev Meshwa, he indicated that he will leave the meeting early to join another committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Babalwa. Any other apologies?
Yes, sorry, Sheikh Imam. Good morning, Mr. Good morning, Chair. Yeah, I'm attending police, health, appropriations, and chief ops this morning. So I'll be juggling myself between meetings. Thank you very much. I want to extend my apologies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're moving to the next item, which is item 3. The chairperson has already made some remarks, and I think when she comes back, she will make further remarks with regard to our meeting and how we move forward from today. Can I request that we go to, is it minutes, Babalwa? Thank you. Minutes are on the screen. You are moving fast. Slow a bit. We're on page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, the meeting agenda at 12:48. Are there any amendments to the minutes? No amendment. Can I get a mover and a seconder for the minutes, for the adoption of the minutes? Anyone to move for the adoption? Yes.
Chairperson, I, Linda Moss, move that the minutes be adopted.
Honorable Moss moving. Seconder.
Seconded by Honorable Shembeni.
Honorable Shembeni seconding. I guess there's no alternative view. Minutes adopted. Do we still have another set of minutes?
Babalwa? No whip. We'll only adopt one set of minutes.
Okay. Is the chairperson back? Chairperson, are you back? Okay. Then let's move to item, or are there matters arising from the minutes? Any matter arising? Nothing. Thank you, Honorables. Then let's move to item 6. And get a presentation. Good morning, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and the your team. Honorable Minister, we are in your hands.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chief Whip, the acting chair. We are here, Deputy and myself, and the Secretariat. And the Secretariat will definitely take us through. The Acting Secretary should be in the House, and they take us through to the next item as we go forward. Thank you very much, Acting Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. Acting Secretary?
Sorry, I was muted.
I see hands. Sorry.
Honorable Whip, I am back. I have a network now.
Okay. You can continue. There are two hands, Chair, from Honorable Sheikh and Honorable Ted Blanche.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh Imam, and then Honorable Ted Blanche. Sheikh Imam? Honorable Sheikh Imam, you are muted. Can we take Honorable Ted Blanche before Sheikh Imam?
With regards to provinces, the disaggregation of unemployment.
Honorable Sheikh Imam? Honorable Ted Blanche, can we take you now?
Chairperson, thank you. I'm glad that you're back. I just wanted to make sure in your absence, you know, there are quite a few things that I think that is important that we should, you know, just touch on. But I think it will be appropriate, you know, if we allow you maybe first to, you know, do whatever sort of, you know, briefing you want to make to the committee before we start, because I think there are quite a few things that are important that we just need to touch on. Chairperson, thank you. I'll be waiting till you're done with your part. Thank you.
Honorable Ted Blanche, yes, indeed, we will touch those matters. I've also requested the work that we do. Could we first complete our work, which is on our agenda, which is the critical infrastructure protection regulations, which will not take us long. Then we dispose of the agenda, and then we will look at, because the last meeting we had was on the 8th of June, before period, and then since our last meeting, many topical issues affecting the policing environment occurred, and we will note them at the end of the meeting so that if members do wish to comment, they will have time to do so. Honorable Ted Blanche, do you accept that we do it at the end of the presentation, or else we may engage one another on a very long list of matters which happened since our last meeting?
Chairperson, I'm comfortable if we come to that when you think it's appropriate. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Acting Chair of the Civilian Secretariat, you may start your presentation now. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. The presentation from our side will be led by Mr. Melton Ndwana, through you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You may start.
Good morning, Minister. Good morning,
I'm having a problem with sound. Is it only me?
No, we are battling ourselves, Chairperson.
Thank you. So my network is better. Could we just have a bit of sound there? I can't hear you at all.
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Deputy Minister, Deputy National Commissioner, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The presentation today is on the critical infrastructure protection regulations that have been tabled in Parliament in terms of Section 27.5 of the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act. As a form of background, Chair, you might be aware that the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act was assented to by the President on the 20th of November 2019. And this act seeks to repeal the National Key Points Act of 1980. Therefore, in terms of the provisions of that act, the SIPA Act, it says that it will come into operation on a date to be determined by the President by a proclamation in the Government Gazette. Right. So what we have done as a department, we have operationalized certain sections of, that is section one that deals with the interpretation, section two, the purpose of the act, three, application of the act, four, establishment and composition of the Critical Infrastructure Council, section five, disqualification from appointment as members of the council, section six, the funding and remuneration of the council. Next is section seven that deals with the functions of the council, eight, meetings of the council, nine, functions of the national commissioner, section 12, the ad hoc and standing committees, 14, the delegation of powers by the minister, and then section 27, 1, 5, and 7, 8, in order for the regulations also to come into operation. This there was in order to allow for the council to be able to start operating its work. As I said, in terms of section 7 of the act, this is the one that deals with the issue of the functions of the council. As I indicated now, Chair, that in order for the council to be able to perform its functions, it was decided to sort of split the sections of the regulations pertaining to the main set of regulations to those that deal with the issue of the council. Because it was realized that it's actually the task of finalizing the regulations was taking a little bit of a while, and the council was eager to start operating. And also, it's going to be important for the council to be able to also see the other set of regulations before they come into operation as well. These regulations, Chair, they have been approved by the Minister in terms of the Act, and were published in the Gazette for public comments. And the comments that have been received that strengthens the regulations were incorporated in the version that is now currently in front of the Portfolio Committee. Coming to the contents of the regulations, Regulation 1 is the one that deals with definitions. This regulation provides for definitions that include key definitions such as the Critical Infrastructure Protection Regulator. Also, Chair, there's a definition of applicant in the regulations. We take note of that has been pointed to us that there needs to be some amendment to this regulation, because it only deals with the issue where the applicant is the person in control, but also in terms of the act, the national commissioner can also be an applicant in cases for government institutions. Regulation 2 is the one that deals with the establishment and functions of the council. This regulation provides for the establishment of and functions of the council in terms of section 4 of the act. And the council, therefore, in terms of the act, must advise the minister in the exercise of his or her functions in terms of regulation 3 just deals with the ordinary meetings of the council. As that of the council must ensure that the council meets at least quarterly by notifying each member of the council in writing no less than 30 days before the date of such meeting. Also, Regulation 4, which is also allowed in terms of the Act, Chair, that this council can have special meetings. So Regulation 4 provides that the chairperson of the council must convene a special meeting of the council in terms of Section 8 of the Act. And also in terms of the regulations, these meetings can be conducted or virtually, Chair. Regulation 5 is on dealing with the resolutions of the council in respect of applications for declarations of infrastructure, its current infrastructure. This regulation provides that the council must adopt the regulation whether or not it intends to recommend declaration of such infrastructure, as well as recommend the category that this infrastructure must be declared for. As you might be aware, sir, that in terms of the Act, there are three categories that infrastructure can be declared for. It can be low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Furthermore, the council must, within 14 days of the meeting, notify the applicant of the intended recommendation of the council. Regulation 6, sir. These are the resolutions of the Critical Infrastructure Council to publication. So in terms of the Act, when an infrastructure is about to be declared an infrastructure, Section 74 provides for that there must be a notice that must be placed in the Gazette, and this notice must state the name of the applicant as well as the location of this infrastructure, and then there must be an invite sent to the public to submit to the commissioner in terms of whether they support or have some issues with this infrastructure. Therefore, this regulation, therefore, China, it provides for instances where the applicant requests the council to depart from that provision of publishing the location and the name of the applicant. This chair can be, for instance, that the applicant is for national security reasons, doesn't want privacy of the location to be advertised in the Gazette. Therefore, then the council must consider this request from the applicant to determine whether the applicant has shown good cause as contemplated in Section 17.5 of the Act and adopt the resolution whether or not to approve such a request. And when the council is resolved on that issue, then council chair, in terms of the Act, they must record the decision of the council. Decisions of the council in respect of policies, protocols, and standards. Decisions of the National Commission such as submitting draft uniform guidelines, protocols, and approval by the council in terms of Section 7. Of the Act. The council may also consult any person or entity who are in their opinion is sufficiently qualified and experienced to assist the council. Chair, as I said, this is one of the reasons why the council needs to be established now, so that the National Commissioner can be in a position to develop these guidelines so that the council can be able to consider the guidelines, protocols, and approve them in order for the Act to come operational. Personalized. Resolution 8, assignment and functions of the minister. This regulation chair provides for instances where the minister has assigned any function or of the council in terms of Section 7 on seal of the Act. In such instances, chair, the chairperson of the council may, within 14 days of receipt of the assignment from the minister, call a special meeting of the council if he or she is of the opinion that the matter is very urgent. Regulation 9, this regulation enables the council from time to time to adopt resolutions to designate suitably qualified and experienced members of the council to form an ad hoc committee with specific tasks in order to assist the council in the performance of the function. Then regulation 10 is the issue of standing committees. This is in order for the council to function efficiently and effectively. Therefore, this regulation enables it from time to time to adopt a resolution to designate suitably qualified and experienced members of the council to form standing committees to assist the council in the performance of the council. Then, Chair, Regulation 11 is the establishment of the Critical Infrastructure Protection Regulator. This regulation, Chair, empowers the National Commission to establish a regulator as a component within the structures of SAPS, to ensure that the maintenance and administration of systems, procedures necessary for the implementation and enforcement of the Act. And in terms of the regulations, therefore, the National Commissioner must appoint a suitably qualified and experienced police official, not less than a rank of level 14. If I may just state that, currently in SAPS, there is a regulator, the Government Institution Regulator, that is doing these functions in terms of the National Key Points Act, which will be similar to the one that this regulator will be doing. It is currently operating, so it's not going to be a new structure. It is there, and it's headed by a general, the head of the administration. Regulation 12, functions of the regulator. One of the functions of the regulator is to provide for functions, is to support the referral commissioner in the performance and functions assigned to him or her in terms of the act. And then last is the commencement of this regulation. The regulation is called the interim critical infrastructure regulations and shall come into operation on the date of publication thereof in the government. There are other regulations that other issues like the categorization and digital politics, which will be also be dealt with at a later stage of the participation committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Are there any additions to the presentation?
From our side, we don't have.
Thank you very much. From the side of the Deputy Minister?
No, that's our presentation, Chair. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, DM. From the side of the Office of the National Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. General Tlhabane, we are fine with the presentation. That is the presentation that we went through, all of us, with the civilian sectorate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. From the side of the Minister, any addition you'd like to make?
No, thanks, Chair. We are fine, as the Deputy Minister has said. We just wait for the day where we implement and is taken forward by the Chair and the Portfolio Committee in terms of putting people, warm bodies to the position so that you can go on with life. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Honourable Members, you would have noted that we interviewed the council, and I've also received a number of complaints that the council has not been able to commence with their work. A number of members have indicated this to me, and the council itself also indicated this to me. We would therefore like to have the amendments. I'm not rushing it through, but we would like to have the amendments done with your comments and your proposed amendments and additions. There are a number of changes, I think about two, to the definitions which should include the National Commissioner. I'd also like us to look at Regulation 5.8. If we can go, that is just when I'll first take those concerns. When it comes to the definition of applicant, and I'm not a legal person, must include the National Commissioner. Definition of application must include reference to Section 18 of the CIPA. Applicant means one, that a person in control of infrastructure who submits an application for declaration of that infrastructure as critical infrastructure in terms of Section 17(1) of the Act, or B, the National Commissioner when he or she submits an application for declaration of that infrastructure as critical infrastructure in terms of Section 18(1) of the Act. And then the following application should include an application, the National Commissioner. And when he or she submits an application for declaration of that infrastructure. I hope, Nicolette, you can take it in more detail. means an application contemplated in section 17 or 18 of the Act, then this would assist us when the minister has to declare infrastructure as critical infrastructure in terms of section 20 of the Act. But as I'm saying, I am not a legal expert. I would like to ask that our researcher also then includes this or makes it a little bit more refined or sophisticated. As I'm saying, that is just my layperson's view. But if you can work with that, with the civilian secretariat, I will also be very happy. If maybe you could just keep all those comments so that I can take comments from all the members and then you can respond. Honorable members, I'll now take your hands. Honorable members, I'm waiting for a show of hands. Could you remove the presentation, please? Members, am I audible? Can you hear me?
Yes, Chairperson, I can hear you.
So now, can you remove the presentation and can you give me a show of hands, please? What is happening? I don't see hands and I don't... Can I get now? I only have... I'm waiting for the presentation. Can you remove the presentation so that I can take my hand? Honorable Tablanche, you may start and then Honorable Groenewald. There, it's removed. Honorable Tablanche and then Honorable Groenewald.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, yes. You know, I was just concerned that, you know, because of the apparent laissez faire approach that was followed in this process. You know, we went through a lot of, you know, one hell of an exercise to get people, we spoke to people and we, indicated that certain people can be appointed, stuff like that. And yet, Chairperson, there was apparently no urgency to get to a point where this committee can start working. You know, even today, I mean, we are still, you know, looking in futuristic terms to get started. And I don't know what else should be happening to bring about some urgency. We lost our parliament and whatever, and apparently nothing is happening. You know, I don't think I really want to object in the strongest possible terms for this apparent lack of interest to get this process sorted, Chairperson. That is just, you know, what I want to raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tablanche. This concern has been indicated and the committee members, I have received concerns about this from almost all the committee members and from all political parties. The slow implementation of certain decisions of the committee will be raised later, but this is a case in point where we did these interviews last year already, and we have had very, very slow progress on the work of the committee. Honorable Groenewald and then Honorable Shembeni.
Morning, Chair, other colleagues. If you don't mind, I'm going to mute my video because I don't know whether I'm quite audible, but I'm at the place where the signals are not that strong. Chairperson, thank you. I must say, it feels for me as if from our last meeting up till now, we had another South Africa, but the lockdown on the portfolio committee of police, so it is good to hear and see other members again. Chairperson, I don't want to can I say, maybe I am out of order. You have made the proposal as far as the one amendment, but we also have another one. And I will support you to say that we must look into those amendments. The other one is specifically as far as the definitions are concerned. And then, of course, specifically, and we have it in our research paper, put out very neatly and everything. So I just want to make sure that we also add the other amendment of definitions in terms of the Regulation 5, Regulation 8, and how it should read, and that we make sure that that will be part of the whole process with the contacting with the Secretariat and the researcher. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Groenewald. Honourable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, good morning, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. Yeah, I'm just looking at the seriousness of the committee. That it seems as if we are not taken serious in this committee, Chairperson. We held interviews last year, if I'm not mistaken, in June, whereby after the names were submitted to the minister and the minister made appointments. I don't understand now, people are idling, are sitting there, they don't know what to do up to this far. It's really, really unfair. I think our committee is not taken serious. It seems as if we are non-existing because there is nothing that is being said by this committee that is happening. So I think that it's time that we start to show those people that have voted us to where we are, the value of their votes, that are we doing what they sent us into Parliament to do? Because if we are talking about holding the executive accountable, I don't see it happening here in this committee. I think now, before the end of this so-called now parliamentary term. That is what I think it is very, very, very much important to take note, Chairperson. That's why I wanted to raise this thing before we go any further, because we'll be having some deliberations. A lot has happened while we were on recess, and a lot is happening in the country and in the department as a whole. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Shembeni. I do not see any further the hands. I'm going to ask for the last time for any further hands. Honourable Members, I think we're in agreement that the research paper does take us quite a distance in the recommendations that we are making. Honourable Groenewald and all our members are in agreement with the Chair that those recommendations which has been put out in our research paper should be considered. Could I have, if you are in agreement, could I have a proposal, because this has to be formally proposed by the committee. Could I have a proposal for the adoption that those amendments be considered?
I so propose, Honourable Chair.
Proposed by Honourable Groenewald. Honourable Siabi.
I second, Chair.
Seconded by Honourable Siabi. The proposed amendments will be made and brought back to the committee. Approved?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you. I ask, Yes, I of course have to ask in terms of our minutes and our records if we have any objection to this, or if you want to reserve your rights. Can you indicate so now, please? None. Honourable members, I'm not rushing you. You can reserve your rights, and you can propose that your disagreement with those proposed amendments. If not, then we will send the draft back for those proposed amendments to be included. Thank you very much to the Civilian Secretariat and to the Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and the representatives of the National Commissioner. Honourable members, it is now 9:43, and that discussion is then taken forward to the next meeting. Legally, it must be proposed in this way, so that as we did with our previous amendments, we do everything by the book, and we do not then have any technical glitch. I do hope that you understand that we cannot have our work slowed down because of the lack of processes and procedures followed by the committee. Do you agree that we do things absolutely by the book? With the last amendment, we were able to process an amendment bill without any comeback to the committee. Are you in agreement that we do everything by the book?
Yes, we are, Chair.
Proposed, accepted and adopted, proposed by Peacock, adopted. Seconder?
Seconder, Chairperson.
Thank you. What that Moss or Wu was seconding?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honourable members, let it so be recorded. This is required for us when we send our report to the Speaker and the National Assembly. The matter will then be referred back to the Civilian Secretariat for further amendments and work on it to be done. Thank you very much for the hard work, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner. As we said, these regulations are long overdue. The committee's work has come to a standstill. It is a huge embarrassment and very much a cause of concern for the committee. And there's no one who can disagree with us that we have been failed, the committee has been failed when it comes to these regulations. It has taken us too long for these regulations to serve before the committee. And it has taken us very long to get this critical infrastructure board to do its work. I will now then close this matter and start with the following. Honourable members, on regarding our staff, this is the first item I'd like to raise. Our researcher was also acting as the content advisor, was informed by the administration that she can no longer act as a researcher and a content advisor. So she is now only doing the work of the researcher, and we are thus sitting without a content advisor, and the work of the content advisor is now very difficult. I am raising this consistently with the administration. They either have to appoint the content advisor. They did the interviews, but the appointment, the gap in the interviews and the appointment and their decision that our is causing serious administrative frustrations for us. Our staff is getting very, and as you can see, we are attempting to process quite a number of acts and amendment bills, and this will require quite a lot of work and support to the chairperson. We do need our content advisor very urgently. The second matter that I'd also like to raise in connection with staff, and which I will raise formally, but I want to note, I want it to be formally noted in the meeting, is the type of work and support that we are receiving from Mr. Lobby. Mr. Lobby has hardly attended any oversight visits. Whenever there's an oversight visit, Mr. Lobby is not available. The last oversight visit, again, he is supposed to assist with members' bookings and their arrangements. Then if he isn't there, the members do struggle, and it does become a bone of contention. I want to, the committee must write formally on behalf of the chairperson, will write that we have mentioned this in the committee, but Mr. Lobby is definitely not supporting this committee. On more substantial matters, we note with concern the mass shootings that occurred over the last 3 months in Gauteng and the Western Cape provinces, where innocent people lost their lives. Firstly, we would like to, as a committee, express our heartfelt condolences to the families of the victims. May their dear souls rest in peace, and may the, when we do release our press statement from the committee, may it be indicated that we do not only express our heartfelt condolences, but we condemn these acts and the horror that this has, and the fear that this has instilled in our communities. The next matter is that the committee was shocked by the death of the 21 school children at Inyobeni Tavern in Scenery Park in East London. We encourage the Minister of Police and the National Commissioner to conclude the investigation speedily and to combat efforts to really close illegal taverns, to intensify their efforts to combat illegal, intensify our efforts to combat illegal taverns, especially those selling liquor to minors. Those selling liquor to minors must be charged and closed down. The next item, I have received several requests for the committee to engage with certain police officers who were involved in the case of theft and the security breach at President Ramaphosa's farm. The matter is under investigation. There is a case that has been opened. The WOKS are investigating this. And because we were on recess, I was unable to have a quorum for the meeting to sit during the recess. And I would then like to indicate this to the committee members that if you request a meeting, I have to have a quorum. If the quorum is not there, I cannot call a meeting. The next matter of concern, which all the members of the committee, a number of members from the political parties and members of the committee have sent a request that we have a meeting on the protected disclosure of General Vuma. General Vuma has been suspended because she's a deputy national commissioner. The committee expresses its concern and would like to have responses on the serious allegations which she has made in that protected disclosure. I've engaged with I've engaged with the minister on this. The minister has indicated that he is preparing a response on the matter and that that response will be made available to the committee. Last month, the next item, last month has been a year since we were forever changed by the horrific unrest and looting that affected parts of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Several instigators have been arrested in recent weeks. We encourage the police to conclude investigations as soon as possible. We also would like to implore on the Human Rights Commission that they conclude their report, so that that report can be referred to the Speaker, and so that the Speaker can then refer the matter to the committee for the discussion by the committee. It is a year since we have had this event listed. It's not an event. It's a social act. We are hamstrung by the fact that there were different issues. I would love those investigations to be speeded up and concluded. I'll also again once more engage with the chair of the Human Rights Commission so that this matter can be dealt with in our committee. The next item, a number of members have also called me during recess about the Kinnear report by IPED. Honourable members, I would like to state it on record formally in the committee that the Speaker has not yet referred this matter to the committee. The IPED report has been classified as top secret. Speaker has indicated to me that once she has clarified the matter of the classification of the document, she would then be able to recommend which committee has to deal with the document. The members of the Portfolio Committee on Police do not all have top secret security clearance. So unless we then need an indication if that document will be declassified or if it will be sent to, not declassified, but that the level be lowered, and if not, that the matter then be referred to another committee that does have top secret clearance. As members said, there is a number of matters to be considered. The next unfortunate incident is that we were horrified, the committee was horrified by the gang rape of 8 young women at the disused mine dump in the West Rand. The committee, together with our counterparts in Mineral Resources and the Minister of Home Affairs, attended meetings, and we conducted an oversight visit to the area earlier this month to assess the significant challenges posed by illegal mining and illegal foreigners in the area. Visits which have been requested by the portfolio. They would like us to have these joint oversight programs. Honourable members, the request which has been made by that committee is quite loaded. I will be doing consultations, but already the whip of our committee has also indicated that if we agree to all those oversight visits, it will seriously impact on the work of this committee. Honourable members, the next important and critical matter is that last week we had the 10th year anniversary of the Marikana shooting. The implementation of the recommendations made by the Farlam Commission and the panel of experts is not moving at all. And the committee really, again, we are expressing our concern that we have meetings, but we do not see progress. On the Farlam Commission and the panel of experts' recommendations, there were recommendations that we had to do an amendment to the IPED Act. That amendment has not been brought to the committee, and there's no indication on how far the Civilian Secretariat is with those amendments. We were also told to amend the South African Police Act. We are still in the dark as to when the amendments to that act will come to the committee. Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, this committee is halfway through its term of office. The list of items that are not moving is becoming longer and longer, and the committee is really being seen to be rather ineffective. Members are calling me and expressing their unhappiness and their displeasure that, again, when we are doing our work as a committee, there seems to be limited responses coming from SAPS and the Office of our Political Head. On Friday, the Honourable Minister of Police released the crime statistics for the first quarter of the 2022-23 financial year. The committee noted with concern that crime categories like murder, attempted murder and aggravated robbery continue to rise. Although sexual offences decreased, the significant increase in selected contact crime and a concern to the committee. Here, honourable members, we had sessions on gender-based violence and femicide. We are, again, Civilian Secretariat, you are here. The amendment to the SAPS bill presented us with an opportunity to tighten the role of the community police forums. We spoke about in this committee for years now, since we started, the Honorable Jackie Mofokeng spoke about the Tutuzela centers, the victim support centers, that the NPA is not supporting them. We have had commitments from SAPS and the minister that there were rape kits in all police stations. Members have gone on oversight visits. Where they have gone, they've come back to say, called the chairperson to say that we have not, that wherever they've gone, they've also again experienced problems and difficulties with rape kits. Honourable members, I'm mentioning all these matters because you kept me quite busy, and those of us, we were all out doing constituency work. A lot of work has been done to combat gender-based violence and femicide, but we are slowly losing the fight, and we are not showing that we are we are coordinating our work as a cluster, and we are dismally absent when it comes to being proactive. We are more reactive when it comes to acts of gender-based violence and femicide. The last matter that I want to raise is that this term will be dominated by legislation, the draft regulations as we are starting today, then the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorism and terrorist-related activities amendment bill. We will also be expecting the criminal law forensic procedures amendment bill back from the NCOP. The Select Committee on Security and Justice has had fruitful engagements on the amendment of the bill on the 15th of June and the 10th of August. Minister, you did a very good presentation. I was watching that a committee. Members, we have now reached the stage where we are beyond halfway our term. We are more than halfway. We are reaching the second part of our midterm as a committee, and are evaluating ourselves. We are not only evaluating the three with the minister and the deputy minister, the national commissioner and SAPS and all our units, and if we do not see change, radical change soon, then as a committee we will be sitting with another legacy report which will indicate that which we inherited, which has not been able to be done for more than 10 years or more than a decade, is still with this committee, and we have also failed to do what was expected in the previous administration. Honourable members, I have said quite a bit. I will give you an opportunity to comment. These matters will be taken as separate matters and items on our agenda. I'm just not clustering them and lumping them together and try to sweep these critical matters under the carpet. But I wanted you to know that I am paying attention to all the concerns you have raised, and we will put it on the agenda of the committee, even if we have to have additional meetings. Thank you very much from the chair. That's my input. I have seen the hands of Honorable Whitfield. Honorable Whitfield, before you start your input, I would like to take the show of hands. I would also ask that the whip be the last to do his input. I've seen Honorable Whitfield, then Honorable de Blanche, and then Honorable Groenewald. In that order, Honorable Whip, I ask that you be the last to speak. Honorable Whitfield, you may start, and then Honorable Moss. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for that summary of concerns that have been raised repeatedly. I would just start by saying, Chair, my input will be brief, that legislation is the responsibility of Parliament. Waiting for legislation from the executive is the choice of some members of Parliament. Our responsibility as a committee is to draft legislation. And if the legacy report of this committee reflects poorly, it will not be because of those members who have tried exhaustively to encourage Parliament and its committees to draft its own legislation. And I would just remind you, Chair, as I have mentioned before in the committee, that I intend to bring an IPED private members bill on the IPED amendment bill to flaws in that bill. And if members of the committee choose to vote down that bill, it will be a reflection on them and not all members of the to take control over the legislative process away from the executive, who are making us look bad, but in turn our unwillingness to develop committee bills or to adopt private members' bills is equally part of the problem. And so, Chair, I would just then like to say that IPED private members' bill will be coming to the committee in the next few months, and it will be an important piece of legislation that can help us to address the legacy issues that you've raised today, and I hope to have the support of the committee on those crucial amendments. Chair, it boggles the mind that the IPED report has been classified top secret, but perhaps we could get an explanation from those who classified it. How was it classified? What was the reason it was classified? And what would the process be to classify such a report? Why would something be classified top secret, and who has classified it? We need more information on that. It's simply not acceptable just to say, well, it's top secret and have no explanation as to what causes such a report to be top secret or any indication whatsoever as to what process was followed and who classified it accordingly. Chair, I would then just also penultimately just say on the Enyo Beni tragedy, we'd like an explanation today from SAPS as to what the holdup in producing conclusive forensic results is, so that these families can have some peace. We were told it would be expedited. We were told that there would be answers given and that peace would be given to these grieving families. To date, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware that a final report has been issued. If I'm mistaken, I'm happy to be corrected. But if I'm not mistaken, we deserve an explanation as to what the holdup is in terms of those forensic reports. And then lastly, Chair, I do want to implore the committee to keep up our excellent fight on the DNA backlogs. It was this committee's pressure, in fact, that brought the DNA amendment bill to Parliament from the executive, and there was no need for a private members bill. And such pressure can expedite things, and I think we must ramp up the pressure on other pieces of legislation, but particularly the DNA backlog, which seems the improvements which were made seem to be slowing down. And that is cause for grave concern. There are deadlines coming up, which the minister committed to in terms of dealing with the backlog, and we need to keep a very close eye on those deadlines so that we can hold him accountable to his commitments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. Honorable de Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. You really covered, you know, a lot of ground, and obviously also Andrew Whitfield. Chairperson, so I'm just going to touch on some more issues that I think that should also be mentioned. Chairperson, you know, I am, you know, our whole program got changed for this term. And my concern is, Chairperson, that there are quite a few things that still needs urgent attention. For instance, we had and we are still awaiting to be briefed by Public Works now on outstanding issues on their side, you know, and obviously making it impossible for the police to move forward. And I'm thinking about the firearm, your central firearm register and their move to the Telkom Towers. And apparently it's nowhere to be found now on our program, and we are not going to deal with that. Talking about, you know, the central firearm register, there was also the court ruling, the recent court ruling, and it has got serious implications for firearm owners. And my question is, what are the police and what are we as a committee going to do about it to ensure that some relief will be forthcoming? Because it's impossible at the moment for firearm owners to comply with legislation. It's just impossible. And I think we cannot just leave it at that. Chairperson, then we have an agreement with, as a committee with a national minister. And, you know, once again, he just went on and he had his, you know, his meeting the other day about the crime stats, not even informing us. And, you know, last minute, we had to scramble again, like always, just to find something to be able to respond properly, you know, on questions that is directed to us. Chairperson, then, you know, there are also a lot of things that we got, for instance, you know, from the Free State, there are serious allegations that are made against the management of the police, the provincial management. Our inboxes are flooded, and yet we don't get response. If you send it, well, it's not even worthwhile sending it to the committee anymore because there's just no response. So, Chairperson, we cannot go on like this. We really need to regroup. We need to replan. We need to re-strategize, and we need to decide how we are going to take this forward. I am not thinking that we are doing ourselves a favor at the moment. And really, once again, I want to raise my serious concern about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable de Blanche. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, a lot has been said, and I agree with what has been said and the issues raised. However, Chairperson, I must say that I am frustrated in this sense that we talk and we talk and we talk about talks, and in practice, nothing really happens. The issues that has been mentioned is a good example. I mean, how long do we still have to elaborate to hear this and that is going to be done? If I can only refer to the DNA test for DNS tests, then I am of the opinion that we are not progressing towards a real solution. And Chairperson, I also want to raise the issue on the crime statistics. I really want an answer why the committee was excluded with the revealing of the new crime statistics. I specifically, for instance, asked on the previous occasion that when we talk about farm murders, that we must also get the statistics on farm attacks. We didn't get it. All you see there is that there with 10 incidents or 8 incidents with 10 victims. Now, that's not attacks. Now, we don't have an opportunity where we can say, and there was agreement from the side of the police that they will give those statistics. But now it just, like they say, it just disappears in the sand. And it seems if we have no power, that we as a portfolio committee, our constitutional, that we must ensure accountability. I must be quite honest to say that I get the feeling that from the side, from the police as well as the ministry, that we are ignored. Let me give you an example. Serious allegations were made by, and I call it the Buma matter. I wrote a letter to the president, and I've asked for a judicial commission to look into the matter. His office sent me a letter replying, but when it is about accountability, that is why there is a portfolio committee. Now, Chairperson, according to the letter from the office of the president, this committee, the portfolio committee for police there, must investigate and look into the matter of the allegations by the then General Vuma against the minister. And while I'm talking about the minister, Honorable Chair, this committee is where the minister must account. He's a political appointment. And I want to say openly, and I'm quite frank about it, Honorable Minister, and I say it also with respect. And I want to refer, for instance, to your behavior in Google Ads. And it's not about what and who said what. It's about your behavior. Your behavior was actually a shame for members of parliament. It was really a shame for the people of South Africa, because police minister does not lose his temper. He does not act the way you've acted. And I'm quite honest with you. I think you own at least this portfolio committee an apology, not on what was said, as far as other members are concerned, on your behavior. Because your behavior set an example for members of police to act in certain ways if they are not satisfied with questions asked towards them. And I feel very strongly about this. Furthermore, Honorable Chair, I am worried that the Honorable Minister interferes with the operational issues of the police. And why do I say that? To give you an example, with the tavern shootings, for instance, in Orlando, the minister goes there, he tells the community or the community that, and he said, I will deploy certain sections of police and I will decide when they will withdraw. It was on television. It's not which sections of the police will be deployed and for how long. That is an operational matter for the Commissioner of Police. And I put it frankly, it appears to me, when you look at these issues, and with respect towards the Commissioner, that the Commissioner became the lapdog of the Minister. Who is in charge? There's a critical issue, namely the crime prevention strategy, that has been revealed, but it was nothing else than just the matter of dusting the old strategy from 2011, which was actually when the minister was the commissioner of police. And I think that this portfolio committee, we have to look into these matters on the behavior of the minister. And we must tell the minister whether we are satisfied with his performance or not. That is accountability. And we are shying away from our constitutional obligation to hold the executive accountable to Parliament. And I seriously and urgently ask that we must look into that matter. I also want to say, Honourable Minister, Chairperson, that when we're referring to the whole issue about the father of the Honourable President, it is also as if we want to also shy away from that. We are the Portfolio Committee on Police. The member of police, Mr. Röhrer, he must come and account to this Portfolio Committee. What are the facts? How did they behave? How did they deal? And it's too easy to say, but it is an ongoing matter. We are still investigating the matter. How long does an investigation of that nature take? Chairperson, the other problem is when I ask certain questions to the minister in Parliament, in writing, where he has an obligation to answer, I don't get the answers. Meaning to say, and I give you a specific example. I asked a specific question on what were the costs in terms of litigation when it comes to how many cases has been lost, how many cases had, and what the costs for the police services was involved in those specific litigations. The answer from the minister is the police does not have the figures on the cost and how many cases has been won or lost. That is part of the Department of Justice. I disagree. I can't see how the minister can say they don't know what the cost is. Chairperson, I give only a couple of examples. I want to put on the record that if the Portfolio Committee does not come forward and vigorously hold the executive accountable to Parliament, we also going to lose the battle. Like, for instance, it appears that we are losing the battle against criminals in South Africa. And therefore, I appeal that there will be serious consideration from this committee to ensure a process where we can ensure that we comply to our constitutional obligation to ensure that the executive and the police services are accountable to this specific committee. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Groenewald. Can we now have Honourable Moss?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is on the issue of the DNA backlog. I was thinking that we overcome that, but I still observe that members are still there, and even the public, on the issue of the DNA laboratory backlog. Chairperson, the President speak in the State of the Nation address very length on the issue of the gender-based violence and suicide. And also, Chairperson, also on the issue of the crime in South Africa, there is on the issue of the DNA must be done. I still remember in this year, I raised the issue of Klaver here in the Western Cape, in the West Coast, of a child who has been murdered by a farmer in, not a farmer, a person who stays that's 1 or 2 kilometers out of town. And they're still struggling to getting the DNA results. Secondly, Chairperson, we do the oversight also in firearms register in that building. Till the day the start, I ask myself the question, did we do enough or did we use our constitutional muscle as MPs of parliament to foresee or enforce things that things must be happening? For me, I feel it's a wasting of time and resources because they are not taking us serious, the Department of Police and this Department of Public Works. And Public Works is the custodian of buildings of this country. And it seems there is a... The person on the issue of that you raised early in this year, of last year, that we must go for a strategy meeting or session. Yes, COVID is not over, but the president has to do an announcement and he has saying what must be happening. Why can we not have a face-to-face? Institutions of police, with our minister, with our deputy minister, and the new appointed commissioner, so that we can really discuss things. I mean, it's not proper, you don't get proper time at the portfolio committee because a program is already set and we adopted. But I think there's things that we can discuss properly and process so that we can take in this portfolio committee forward and the Department of Police. The police department is the critical department of South Africa. Our people mustn't get lose hope because of we are not doing work. Then what is the state that our people have fought for democracy, but they're not getting what they're supposed to get? For me, it was 2 weeks back when we visited this illegal miners and that report in Krugersdorp. It was painful because, and I still feel painful because of things that's happening in this country I'm not happy with. And people can be dealing with me after this meeting, but things is not right. People can do what they do. I'm staying in the middle of the community in my city. When I open my door, I can see now they smoke Daha, how they're selling drugs here. But when you go to the police and report it, they just look at you like you are nothing. That's the way they respect us, public reps. They don't respect us anymore. So, really, Chairperson, let us have this strategy session and let's iron out all the things who border us as committee members, who border the police, different section of the police department, and let we come up with a common ground. Let we take this country forward. I mean, about race issues, about the things was happening. I must, on a positive note, before I step down, I must say, Honorable Groenewald, I'm very impressed when I visiting the Northern Cape family of mine Easter weekend. When I driving on my way to that farm, Pampoenpoort, I observed that most of the farmers, they have that cameras at the gates. That cameras, I think, is where they try to inform them if there's some things is not okay when people want to come to murder them or want to come to steal their livestock or whatever. But it's, I mean, that's a very good tool that they use for the, I don't know, is it all over in the country? But those Northern Cape farmers, they have the, on the enter, when you enter the gate, they know exactly what kind of person coming because they see it from their homes. Thank you very much. See.
Thank you, Honorable Moss, Honorable Shembeni, and then I also saw after Honorable Shembeni, then our whip will conclude and we'll give the minister, and I don't know who will respond from Office of the National Commissioner. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Minister, again. Chair, a lot has been said about the SAPM. My concern now is I've taken note of the appointments management of the South African Police Services recently. But at the same time, we were waiting for the outcome of the hearing of Lieutenant General Vuma, because I remember that she was suspended, not fired. But now I've noticed that her post has been filled. What is the meaning of that? Because if a person is suspended, we must wait for the outcome so that when she's vindicated or whatsoever, she must come back to her post. But for this one, the post has been filled. That tells you something. Now, recently, we had service delivery protests in Mpumalanga on the 28th of July and last week. In those service delivery protests, people were killed. And then I did not hear of any arrests from the police or whatever. It's only one from the Steve Chwete, whereby one security guy has been arrested. And the action against those security companies, what action is being taken? I did not hear anything, because the thing seems as if it's getting more and more and then troublesome, that security guards will shoot or will be involved in the controls or crowd management with the police. How is that? I don't understand how is that happening. Because in such instances, we want somebody to answer. But it's difficult to get answers now from these ones. Now, I'm very much surprised. Now, the issue of Krugersdorp. I was surprised to see one of the victims on the national TV complaining that they have been neglected by the police in such a way that the NPOs or NGOs, so to say, got involved in order to help those people. They are not looked after. I think that in the SAPS, we've got the so-called victim empowerment centers and so on. What is happening there? What is this women that are taken somewhere for care? Who is taking care of them? Taking care of these people? What is happening in such a way that they will embarrass us in front of the national TV to say the police just neglected them? I don't think that it's the right thing. Now, the chairperson said now the minister is going to respond on that protected disclosure by the Lieutenant General Vuma. Yes, we can wait for the minister to respond, but we as the members of the committee also, we have got a lot to ask the minister to respond to here in this committee. There is a lot. Now, coming to the operational matters, I thought that the minister was once a national commissioner. And then we were looking at a better SAPS when now the minister is the minister now. because he has got the insight of what is happening in the SAPS. But unfortunately, the minister is doing what the national commissioner is supposed to do. And by that, it tells us that if he is doing what he is doing operationally, he is also involved in the appointments of the senior management in the SAPS, the placements and everything. Another thing, we were told that the restructuring is on hold with of no reasons. If it is on hold, why now the appointments of senior managers? Because everything must be on hold, because a lot of money is used now here in the appointment of senior managers instead of being used in the restructuring processes whereby service delivery is needed down there in the communities. But nothing is happening. We are busy entertaining the highest office of the SAPS, not down there where we need the food soldiers. So it's really, really worrisome that we will see our minister going up and down, whereas we know exactly that the SAPS, the structure of the SAPS is not good. We have been having complaints in a province that we were supposed to visit. Up to today, we did not visit it. But I'm surprised the national office is attending or it's entertaining some other issues in other provinces that are of no importance, whereby a city is disciplining other members, but the national office is coming in there to interfere. No reasons. We know about that. And we will see what is going to happen, because if you don't allow other members to discipline other members, you intervene. Why are you not intervening or interfering in other provinces like Free State, in the Northwest there? A lot is happening, but nothing is being done. Instead, police are being fired. We know of a captain that is being suspended in the national office, that the senior manager said, they say he or she leaked the information about a certain senior official in the SAPS. How do you do that? And I think the minister must be very, very careful with the national commissioner to look into this thing that police must not revolt against our national office in the near future because of what is happening. Because somebody will be held or will be held accountable for what is happening here. Now, this must change. We need a South African police service that is strong. We need a South African police service that will deliver, that will combat crime in our societies. No favors. We don't promote people that are our friends, that are our families. That is damaging the image of the SAPS. Something must be done. Something must be changed. As I've said, that our minister is a former national commissioner. While he was a commissioner, no minister was interfering with his duties. So he must stay away and let these people do their own job, so that when there is a problem, he can be able to go and intervene and solve those problems. But for now, you are becoming part of these problems, Honorable Minister. There is a time where you will be unable to solve this problem, because you know our people, they won't be always be as they are today. There is a day when they will change and they will stand against you to say, you were involved in this thing. That's why we are here today. And let us also look into the issue of the finance minister. We know of what is happening. spending and what are we expecting? We're expecting to see law taking its own course yet on harassment case. A lot is happening now in this case. But since it is in the public eye, let the law take its course, Honorable Minister. We cannot allow that these things, when people are involved in crime, money will go run around with 100 rands or 200 rands will fly in the air to try and sabotage these cases. It's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. We want to see the law taking its course in this regard, because victims of such crimes like GBV, we cannot allow perpetrators to linger the streets yet, while we know that these people are involved in such horrendous crimes, but we do nothing. We can't. Even you are holding a high office, but if you have done such a crime, you deserve to go and see the light in that court, as other people are doing. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm going to ask the WIP to just round up, if the WIP would like to do so. And then I'll give firstly the Deputy Minister and then the Minister a chance to speak.
Thank you, Chair. My audible?
Yes, Honorable WIP.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings again to Honorable Members, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the Commissioner, and this team. Chair, a lot has been said by Honorable Members. I think in your presentation, Chair, you were trying to remind us of issues that are occupying the public space, and issues that we needed startups to respond to timeously, but seemingly they are delayed. I understood you to be saying that we need to pay focus to issues that are occupying the public space, issues that communities are worried about, and issues that were raised by this committee to staffs, and we expect responses. I would say, Chair, of course, I have some issues to say about crime statistics, but we discussed crime statistics. I think from our side as a committee, that's strategic, because as you listen to members presenting, we are not necessarily at one. So it is possible, Chair, that we have that strategy so that we are able to streamline our intentions, we are able to streamline what we need from SAPS, so that when they respond, they are able to respond in a streamlined manner. I agree with you, Honorable Witcher, that legislation is the competency of Parliament. And this legislation, we've been saying we need to fast track the IP one, the SAPS one, and so on. But we need to try our best to work together with the executive so that we ultimately arrive at the destination we need. That would be my opinion. Chair, I see an improvement with regards to SAPS responding to queries by this committee. SAPS responding to, or the minister responding to questions by honorable members. We receive such reports on a monthly basis. It is our responsibility to support that so that we can continue having this relationship. And as you know, Chair, I joined this committee late because I was serving in another committee. And in comparison, in this committee, we have a minister, a deputy minister, and a national commissioner who are striving to be present in every committee meeting. I know they are not, they don't attend 100%, and we once raised an issue that when we discuss certain critical issues, we need the minister to be present because he's accountable.
Sorry, Honorable Whoop, your sound is a little bit bad.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me try something. Let's see. Hello?
Let's try now, Whoop.
Can you hear me?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I was saying I see the executives that try their best to make sure that they attend meetings of the portfolio committee. So we need to appreciate that and support them while we must call them to order where they are out of order, but we need to appreciate that. Chair, I expected that we will request the national commissioner because when he was appointed, he made certain commitments to the nation. My expectation would be that we request the national commissioner to respond to this committee as to how far he is with his commitments in terms of staff morale, in terms of promotions, in terms of discipline in the police service, all those that he promised the nation. And we applauded him, if I recall well, as a committee about his vision, about his intention. It is my expectation that we request the national commissioner to come and report to us to say how far he is, what are the stumbling blocks and how he thinks to go about it. Because sometimes these things overlap. We have an executive authority, you have an accounting officer. When things don't go well, we say the accounting, the executive authority must come and account for things that are not going well. And when the executive authority pushes for certain things to happen, we may confuse that as interference. When the executive committee is trying to intervene, if he folds his arms, when we expect him to account to us, then he'll come and say, but I want to do these things, this person is not of the department or the government of the day, then they start overlap interference and intervention, which we need to be careful of. Chair, we are coming from a joint oversight with regard to the Zama issue in Krugersdorp. And in those meetings, there was a principled agreement that we need to continue as a way of being proactive. We need to continue on this joint oversight as committees to other areas so that we are able to see what is happening. I would encourage, Chair, through your office, that you look critically at this so that if possible, we are able to do it. There's something that I'm worried about through you, Chair, to the Minister, that always when there are criminal activities happened somewhere, there seem to be, for lack of a better word, pressure to arrest. And in most cases, we see police arresting for the sake of arresting and end up arresting wrong people. And we come and cry at a later stage to say there's no conviction because there was no thorough investigation into what is happening. That is my worry. And as a committee, as parliament, I think we need to make a case to Treasury because policing is about human beings. You need human beings to take care of other human beings. We need to make a case to Treasury to make more money available so that we can have more officers on the ground. There's been a cry that in 2010 we had so many police officers against this number of the size of a population. Today is 2022, we have less police officers whilst the size of population has grown. And it is our responsibility as a committee, as members of parliament, to make sure that we make a case to Treasury to make resources available. And Chair, as I close, I agree with Honorable Shambeni that we need the subs that will deliver services to our people. It is our duty as a committee to make sure that we support the subs so that we enable it to deliver services to the people. If the problem is legislation, let us deal with it, like Honorable Whitfield said. But it is up to SAPS, the National Commissioner and the Minister, to indicate to us that here are the legislative hiccups. Can the committee assist us as members of Parliament to deal with those? Chair, those would be my comment. But I'm just saying, as a committee, we need to support the work done by SAPS. We need to support the newly appointed National Commissioner so that when we call him to order, we'll say we're providing you with support, but you are not delivering service. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think what we have expressed today is our collective support to the minister and his team, and our collective commitment to addressing the challenges of crime and the scourge or the second pandemic, as the president had alluded to, that gender-based violence and femicide has become. We are not fighting our honourable member and minister and deputy minister and national commissioner. As a committee, we are raising concerns because of our collective responsibilities. It is not a competition for space. It is merely an attempt to say, as a committee, we also have a responsibility to fight crime. We are not in the executive or in the administration, but as members who have constituencies, who are part of communities, who are part of political parties, we are also accountable to our communities and to the country at large. So as it is, we are occupying the space of the oversight body. And that oversight body is not only there to criticize. It's not a matter of criticizing. It is a matter of working together. The WHIP has made it very, very clear on what our stance is. And Honorable Minister, we have made this very clear over and over as a committee that we appreciate your presence, and all we are asking for is that this committee be allowed to honor its constitutional obligations, and that we then have a seamless interaction between the administration, the executive, and the parliament. I'm not expecting the Honourable Minister to respond to each and every question or concern which has been raised. We are not, this is not a question session in Parliament. And Honourable Minister, we are also not attacking you or fighting you. As the Honourable Whip has said, let us agree to a strategic planning session. Because during the period of our recess, I had to deal with a number of not angry, frustrated members. We are not expressing anger, we are expressing concern, and that concern is reflected in our commitment to work with you and the National Commissioner. And it is just our role as a committee to play our oversight responsibility in a very professional manner. When it comes to crime, we cannot have party political differences. When a crime is committed, they do not ask any questions to the victim around their political affiliation. But we have seen now the simmering tensions of foreigners, simmering tensions. We'll come back to a capability with our intelligence sector. I'm saying that let us not exhaust the list today. Minister, we are not expecting you to exhaust all the responses. We have agreed that that meeting, which we had called the strategic planning session, that we have at least 2 days out of your precious time where we can address these concerns in a very honest and open fashion, but not in a confrontational fashion. Honourable Whitfield, the Chair has now concluded. Is there anything that you want to say that cannot wait?
Yes, Chair, sorry. You seem to be saying we can't ask questions and that the Minister doesn't have to reply. This is Parliament, Chair. You can't say...
No, this happens
in every meeting, and the Executive gets let off the hook by long speeches and long delays. We need answers, Chair. We can't allow these answers to be put in writing every single time or to simply be ignored. Respectfully, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Whitfield, at no stage did I say the Minister does not need to answer.
You did, Chair, verbatim.
My apologies if that is how I had said it. My intention was to say we are not going to exhaust all the responses today. We are going to have that 2-day session where we will exhaust all this kind of concerns that we have. If I communicated incorrectly and not very clearly, I apologize for that, and I would like to withdraw that statement or the confusion it may be causing. Certainly we expect, this is Parliament, we expect responses. What I'm saying is that today we may not exhaust all the responses. The Minister then will not be expected to answer all the questions, because obviously he'll tell us that this is under this, they are working on it. He's not going to be able to respond to everything. That is really expecting the unexpectable. Let the Minister go back, prepare his answers, come back to that strategic session. with not answers in writing, but with prepared responses to the committee, engage with the committee in a two-day session. We'll ensure that the minister on those 2 days will go to the committee so that we can take these matters and not just treat them at the superficial level. Because sessions, we have very little that is coming out of it. We want to know why, what are the hiccups, why are we unable to proceed? This is an in-depth discussion. It's not a question and answer session. An in-depth session where we have engagement, fruitful engagement with one another. I hope that is understood by the committee. Honorable Minister, if you would like the Deputy Minister to first speak, or I don't think the Commissioner is here, Honorable Minister, you can indicate who you will give an opportunity to speak. The Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would, if the Deputy Minister has anything to say, we'll speak and then I'll speak.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
No, Chair. Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, members of the committee. I must say, Chair, that immediately after we submitted the critical infrastructure regulations, I almost requested to be released to join the NCOP because we were also making there is a piece of legislation that is being processed, but. Given the issues that were being raised, I felt I must stay on and listen to what members are saying. I always say, when we interact with the committee, that we appreciate the interface that we have with the committee for us to come and account on the things that we do. I must say that some of the issues that were expressed here are unfortunate because we are expected to respond in a particular manner which is tailor made, and it's not possible. There's the requests that are being made. We go into an imbizo. In Soweto, and we went into an imbizo in Kaviso. Communities raise issues with us, and we respond. And there is no way that we respond in that space. We respond in a manner that we don't respond to the questions that are raised. For instance, communities say deploy police officers here. And we stand and say that we will deploy the forces that we have at our disposal. And we mention the different strengths that we have in the South African police. I don't see how that becomes an overreach or how that becomes operational, as members are saying here about the minister. There are things that, yes, the minister must answer to. To the committee and account, because we all account to yourself. But really, for him saying that we're deploying the berets, yeah, we're deploying these forces to come and stay here with you until the place is saturated, how does that become operational? I think sometimes we are being unfair. I'm sorry to say that, but I think so. I know that you are agreeing, Chair, that there will be a session where we will discuss the issues appropriately, and that the committee, must make us to account. They must say to us, you must come and appear before us. These are the issues. Prepare yourself to come and present like today. You invited us here to come and
submit on the critical infrastructure. Yes, there might have been delays on the regulations being presented before you, but that was the subject matter. And I'm not saying you are not supposed to say the things that you have said if you make certain observation. The fact that a lot has happened before, since our last meeting, and obviously when we meet today, it will be important that we must try and cover even the lost ground. But I think you must also allow us to come prepared to interface with you so that the accountability becomes meaningful and it's helpful to yourselves, to ourselves, to the broader public, because when we meet with you here, it's Parliament in session, and people must learn and gain something from these interactions. We must learn from you. You must learn from us, even those who are watching or listening through the radio, that they should be able to our engagement. It should not be an engagement for the sake of an engagement. It must be constructive and it must be very, very helpful. I fully agree with the sentiments that the WIP expressed here. That is how we should work. We should work together. We should be critical of each other. We should be constructive in the way that we interact. Where we are wrong, we must be shown that we are wrong. We will be more than willing to accept. And in many occasions, Chair, the committee have been able to raise weaknesses that they observe in how we handle our things. And we have acceded to that. And we have done what is possible to make sure that we are at one. We understand fully your role, your responsibilities as a committee. We appreciate that. We value that. We don't come here to appear before you as a by-the-way city. We understand why this must be done, and we appreciate that. And I think it will be important that we should look at things that way, all of us. We have a responsibility, yourselves as a committee, ourselves, and we should understand that we must also interact with you with respect, and we try our utmost to do exactly that. And we will request that there should be reciprocity. It must be reciprocal. We must respect you, you must respect us. We must then work together. From where we are, the journey that we have traveled, I have not made an observation that the commissioner is members are suggesting to be, that the minister is the commissioner. We have not observed that. We have not come to that determination. And I can assure the committee here that General Masemula is a police officer with integrity who has earned his position to be a national commissioner in his own right. And he has, since he came into office, demonstrated that he is a national commissioner and is providing leadership. And the South African police team that he's trying to put together is responding appropriately. And I'm confident that we will be able to make a difference under his leadership. And equally, the minister is doing what is necessary and of him to do. I haven't picked up a conduct that suggests that he's micromanaging the national commissioner. It's not nearer. I don't think we'll go in that direction. We're very clear that we have a political responsibility, and the national commissioner has an administrative. And of course, there is an interface of the two responsibilities. And so far, I'm comfortable with what is happening, Chair. I think I must not belabor the point beyond this, except to reiterate our commitment as the ministry and the department to account to the committee and to give you all the necessary information that
you require for you to be able to do your oversight role in an appropriate manner. But we always learn. It's always enriching when we interact with yourself. And of course, there's been a robust disengagement this morning on the RAS side, but I think it's okay. We look forward to that suggested date where we will interact with yourself. Thanks, Minister, for allowing me to say a word or two before you can come in. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Before the Minister comes in, thank you very much for those wise words, Honourable Deputy Minister. We have had this kind of engagements with the Minister. And those engagements, we cannot say that nothing came of it. We've seen progress, but obviously, as a committee, we'd like to see more, Minister. It's not a matter of defending the Minister. It's a matter of saying now we are having to move at a greater speed. The nation requires us to double our efforts, all our efforts. And we can only be successful if we work as a collective in an integrated and coherent fashion. We are here because we want to see our country succeed, and as our political representative, we have a common agenda and a common goal. Honourable Minister, you may come in now.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, like my deputy, I thought after the presentation of the presentation we made of the infrastructure, would one with the request to withdraw, because you remember today is Wednesday, and there is that conflict all the time. Today there is a committee of the members of the JCBS class, the items dealing with request to withdraw, looking at the agenda. Now you find that the silent items of the agenda are bigger than those you see on the agenda, which makes life then difficult to respond immediately on those matters. There is no matter that we can't respond to, but my worry is, Chair, as matters have been raised by honourable members. Honourable members, they come with formulated opinions. They are not saying we'll put things on the table and the minister or ministry and the administration answer. It looks like we'll have to come to defend because the opinions are formulated, instead of coming to say, here's an open mind, tell your side of the story. This is what we have heard over the whole days. This, the community tell us, this is we thing happened. What is your story? So I'll further urge the members that when we come to that kind of the meeting, we must go with an open mind, not with formulated opinions, because some of them are not very correct. Is a long list. That is to say one would answer on that one will be really presumptuous. But Chairperson, Honourable Member Shembeni raised the matter of the replacement of the Deputy National Commissioner Vuma. The person that is there is acting Chairperson, is not full appointed in that one, is acting. I think the Commissioner would have seen proper that somebody acts on that one. So I until the matter of Imam Vuma is finalized, that's that. Chairperson, fortunately, yesterday I visited with the National Commission Deputy Minister, I visited Western Cape Laboratory. I think we're making progress there. it will be fine. It will be fine, maybe, that we share the progress we feel we are making and more other things that are done to improve the situation in that level. The question of more warm bodies, the question of increasing skills, the question of making sure that all contracts are signed, indeed, they're all there, the question of that all machines are working and all that, the question of indeed we'll be finishing the backlog and then we'll be working on the new intakes, the question of improving the laboratory in the Eastern Cape that you expect. And then the problem of more DNA that is done in Western Cape coming from Eastern Cape, once Eastern Cape is in place, things will be fine and all that. So it would be good to share how far, and then hear the portfolio committee members, how do they think they can make the extra contribution that we take in. We think we're really online when it comes to those things with the laboratories. The annual bin, I think, is honorable member Andrew Wellfield. The annual bin matter, Chairperson, is a matter of province and health department. The things like the toxicology is not handled by the police anymore. That was taken over by the Department of Health since the funeral is them that have been dealing with that matter. So the police have much less to do, except that the owner and I think some staff of the tavern were arrested, and for the breaking rules and regulations and the laws of alcohol, the parents are demanding for him to be charged with murder, but we can't do that until we know if the results of the toxicology that are run by Department of Health and the province of Eastern Cape per se, Jefferson, will wait. We're told that those results will be fully out on the 31st of August. I think we'll take it from there. The protected revelation by the honourable by the Deputy National Commissioner Vuma, the answer has been provided since I received correspondence from the President. The answer has been responded there. I think the portfolio committee would like to hear the side of the minister. I hear everybody saying serious matters there. It looks like one area where the opinions have been formulated. I will request the members that stay open and with open mind on the matter until you hear how far those matters are taken. You must remember that we're dealing with a person that has been found by the court of law guilty on the matters involved. And quite interesting that after that, we'll come with that protected the revelation or whatever you call it. After the court of law in all levels, including the constitutional court, that has said you are guilty of criminal offense. And then it comes on this matter. So that's why I'm saying let's deal with the matter and let's have the open mind here from the other side, and then we formulate if those are facts, we are satisfied with the facts, mesh it with what has been put there and all that kind of thing. So I'm not going to begin to get on it. But it will be interesting stories we all tell. I can simply say, Chair, one thing on this revelation is that from 2020 and 2021, the staff has been under tremendous pressure to change the minutes of the meetings where the minister was in, and they were put pressure to say, bring those minutes so that they can be docked out.
those minutes. So if this is 2020 and this comes in 2022, somebody then has been preparing to do this kind of revelation with forcing the staff, junior staff, to change the minutes so that it fits the narrative, which means somebody has been planning to come with this narrative for a very long time. But let's talk about it and talk about everything that is there. I'm very free, and I would love to share those things with the members that are there, Chairperson. That would be issue. But Chairperson, the mouthful has been said by the members and the chair, and it would be good to really to get that and be on the side of prepared, like we are prepared for this kind of meeting, and this one comes. One was not very much on that one, Chairperson. I will request again the members to be more explicit and more clearer on this matter of interference. I will. Chairperson, we are called by communities to go and account to them. Unless the honorable members of portfolio committee saying the executive members or ministers have no duty to account on communities. When there are many izimbizo that we go to, but let me tell you, most of these izimbizo, the minister of police or the ministry is called to come there. Tele must come here, minister must come here, Motale must come here, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the time will come where when we are called by the communities, we would not go there. I don't think the time will come. Even going there without being invited by communities, if there is a need to go there, I don't think the time will come. Then when people, they rise in that mass meetings, some of them huge, like the Orlando one was a huge meeting, and then they say, we are requesting the minister and the police to do this. And the minister stands up to say, we won't do that. Somebody will tell you what to do, but not the minister. Especially when the commissioner is there and you are able to say, this can happen. And then you announce to the thousands of the people that are there. I don't know where the interference is there, but the question of communities and demanding the minister to come and explain, I think will be with us for a long time. And at no time that will be ended and stopped. So that's when we come on this one, I would really love to hear more. What do they mean by the interference? The Honorable Humebald put the case to say we will come back and tell you when to withdraw. The communities, Honorable Funeval, both in Orlando, but not only that community, in many other communities that one has been moving around, that is the Gifslot, the Sandspray, Umlaz, and all that, they would say, if there are extra resources that are put in the community to stabilize whatever problem that would be there, communities would demand that you don't then come and change without involving us. You'll have to come back here, sit down with us, tell us how far we have gone. So most of the time we will say we'll come back, and we do go back to these communities to assess together with them how far, how much ground. So I will never say to the community, now that you have the barracks, now that there is a program of stuff that can't happen, we go to these communities. That's why many a times, even before the portfolio committee went to Krugersdorp, we have been there many a times in Krugersdorp, in both Kagiso, in Bekkersdag, and Krugersdorp. We have been there many a times, long before the committee could there.
could go there. We have been dealing with those matters early in the morning, night. We have been there to witness people getting arrested. We are there to go and explain to the communities that are angry, calling on us and all that. So I don't take this notion to say we can't go to the communities and explain things to them that they ask from us. By the way, commissioner most of the time will be there, but those people will make a call to say we want the minister to come here and explain, of which I don't think there will be time soon where we're not going to respond to those communities when they call us. I think honorable member, I can't remember, who raised Chairperson, the question of maybe physical meetings. I think it could be nice now to have those physical meetings, sit together with the members and be able to explain these things, hear the members, they hear us, and then we take one another through. Because not everything the members they hear is true. Hence, I insist the point that keeping our minds open and listening to other sides would be always a good thing to do. The Free State matter, I think it does need to be honorable membership, Shandeni. It does need to be taken through further. There are so many shenanigans. There are so many lies with the matter of the issues coming from Free State. There might be issues that are true, but there are so many lies. And it would be good that we all get involved, get explain ourselves, besides and not, and but also those people that they need to explain that they give information to be questioned so that they are not just given the leeway of telling lies and they get out of it. The question of the availability of these kits in the police stations and with the South African police, the BACAL and all that, we definitely would love members to be specific. And immediately, if there are members that have gone to the station and they found that it's not true that these BACALs are there, or that to raise those matters, because we can't guarantee ourselves that all our stations, 1,154 of them, the discover that there is liaison that telling us that this is what we found at this police station, so that we are able to respond in terms. While it could be a case, but responding quick so that the matters are resolved, and then the issue of gender-based violence and femicide is taken care of. We want to work together on that one so that we are able to respond quickly as the members found that there are things that are not very much true from the side of the police. The minister come there and the minister can be able to explain if that is true or not true. So we'll make that request that those should not be left until there is a meeting to discuss. Those are the things to respond and respond to them quite quickly on those matters. But generally, if there is in-depth kind of response as needs to be, like the Vuma matter, like Krugersdorp, like laboratory DNA, we don't have a problem of doing that. The question of stats, if we can just discuss those matters, how it happens, that would be fine. Honorable Member Groenewald, raised the issue of things that they have thought they can be added. By the way, we expect portfolio committee some oversight. If they want to make some a proposal how things should be done, we need to take those things in procedure, because the formulation of these statistics, crime statistics, we deal with the statistician general, who will have to find out Does it water down? Does it do justice to put this particular thing and all that? So we come back on the sum. We'll have to put processes after suggestions. We don't then wake up the next morning and we put those things when there are processes that should be followed. And we'll continue. In terms of legislation, we hear the portfolio committee. Surely we have to as well whip on it. We'll whip those people that we deal with those matters, and we'll go forward on the matter. On the question of Falam Chairperson, Falam Commission, I think again we need to have some form of discussion, because with the Solicitor General and all that, there are things that could be finalized. There are monies that have been paid to the victims. Other things, like as you try with the POP as suggested and all that. I think we might not have worked very fast on some areas, but there are some errors that have been taken forward. Maybe making some preparation, how far we've gone with Falam, it will also help for everybody to hear and understand those matters. Honorable, I think Groenewald and some members, I think Terry Plache, on the matters of Kukulechu. I'm a politician, by the way. I'm a politician. They are politicians. You go to Kukulechu in the Mbizo, arrange with the community. And the gentleman comes. And the gentleman is given the opportunity to have and say a mouthful to the minister, who sits there and listens without interference, without raising the voice at all, and with a full respect of what the member is saying. And the minister is supposed to respond. The question, I want to make this point, I've been making this point, I don't know why people don't want to understand it. There was never a response and a problem on what that member said. The problem starts when he doesn't want to listen, because everybody, including the minister, sat there and listened to him, really saying a big chunk of things to the minister. But when the minister responded, the gentleman stands up, bend the table, respond, shout back, and disrupt the meeting. Why? That's why he had to be taken out of the meeting, because he was disruptive to the meeting. Not because what he said was not listened to and all that, but the time of response had to come, and he could not take. And that showed some form of the arrogance on the side of a person who want to be heard, whatever he said, but doesn't listen to anybody when that response comes. And people would love to say this is an ordinary member of the community. No, it's not. It's a person of the action society. It's an organization that has taken the campaign. If you can go to this social media thing, you will see that almost a year, that gentleman has taken a campaign against, even before the DA took the campaign. That gentleman has taken the campaign against the minister, and he must come here and talk and be listening and be. And then it comes himself as an action society. But when you go to the gentleman, you realize that he's more than that. Gentleman was in 2018 was in Australia, where he was campaigning against the government of South Africa as a person responsible for the security of the Afro Forum. So he's a person that has taken the campaign. So you are not going to sit and fold your hands when somebody takes the campaign on your doorstep while you are there. I told him to shut up, not for what he has said, but for what he was doing when everybody has respected him speaking. Maybe next time it would be good that those that support him, they tell us that it doesn't matter who, you do need to respect when he has been respected, because he was respected but did not offer any respect to anybody after that. So that was the problem with the gentleman that happened there. So far, if I think I've answered that one, and I'll never keep quiet to anybody who comes with this superiority thinking that he thinks is super than anybody, can say as he wishes, and anybody absorb any form of anything that he say, but he can't listen. That's what happened in Kukulek. And if he comes again and he does anything, that will be repeated. At no time I'll hold back when somebody runs the campaign and acts as if he's a superhuman being, unless every other person is less than him, as it did with a huge disrespect of the meeting, of the persons that sat there and listened to him. And definitely that apology is not forthcoming, Honorable Honorables. It's absolutely not coming back, because nothing wrong was done. And I hope you can take the leaf of listening to the people that were there, and many of them were pretty annoyed with what the gentleman did in the particular meeting of Kukulek. Chairperson, I know that this is just heads up. If there are things that the members want to in-depth on them, and those things can be so that you are able to prepare for this or otherwise. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The first thing is that the Minister has stayed and he has really listened to us. The second thing I wanted to raise is that when I said it was very obvious that the Minister will not be able to exhaust all the issues we have raised in terms of responses. These are not questions, these are matters which require serious engagement. And Minister, thank you for agreeing to that kind of engagement. This is not a session where you must give us responses in writing. There are certain matters which we can ask, parliamentary questions that have already, we've started those engagements, and they are not on the agenda. Those are matters which have come over a period of more than a month. And if members have not asked those questions in parliamentary questions to the minister. The portfolio committee, yes, we can engage the minister. But let us not take so, I have raised a couple of matters. And we cannot expect the minister to take all these areas and respond to them adequately and efficiently. We will have that strategic session as soon as possible, Honourable Minister. I think it is necessary. I also understand that the Minister, we have made specific reference to a specific number of matters which were asked and raised. And obviously now the members would want to ask follow-up questions and make follow-up statements. And I knew that this was going to happen. Once I allow this backwards and forwards and question and answers and you said this and you said that, if I open the floor to another round of that, we are not going to finish today. And I know we are not going to finish today. So as much as you would like to respond to what the minister has said, Honourable Members, we will not reach a final for short space of time on matters which we will need to be really interrogated. So I'm really requesting that, I'm not asking your agreement, I'm requesting, this was not an item on the agenda. I allowed you to make comments. We allowed the minister to make comments. You may disagree on the comments which have made and the responses which were given by the minister. It is not an item on the agenda. We will put it properly on the agenda, not each area, but when we have our stress plan. The stress plan cannot be filled with presentations from the department. The stress plan needs this engagement where we engage one another. Because honorable members, even from my side as the chair, there's a lot of things that you have said that I would also seriously like to engage with you on, and not just on a one-on-one basis and a telephonic phone, a telephonic conversation. So let us meet physically. Let us engage one another. There's many people who are sending me messages, not only one person. You want to respond to this and you want to respond to that. If I allow now, you'll all put up your hands because you're all sending me messages to say that you want to respond on what the minister said about this and this. So please understand, if I allow one person, then I must allow all those who have sent me messages. Honorable members, this is the first part, an opening of engagement with the minister, the deputy minister. The national commissioner has joined us, and we have also said that the national commissioner has made statements. He'll be part of the strategic plan and will be thoroughly debating and engaging one another on what we have said before, what we know, these are the roles, where we draw a line and say, no, the minister can, when a minister goes to MBZO, he does his networking and his engagement with communities. When we go and do our oversight program, we are not having an MBZO. We're doing an other level. We are responding to Parliament. All our oversight reports to Parliament. It's not simply a community MBZO. It's a report of Parliament. It's an investigation by Parliament, by committees. I have said a mouthful. I have raised a number of issues. All members have raised a number of issues. Can I ask the staff, Babawa, Nicolette, can we get that strategic planning session urgently? Could all our officers set aside time? I will have it in September, non-negotiable. We will all be present there. And it's not just going to be presentations and presentations by departments. It will be time for us to have discussions, to have responses, to have follow-ups, and to chart a common way forward. For those words, again, thank you, Minister. Thank you for staying. We ambushed you. We did not even the chair.
I'm sorry, yes. Chair, to do this. In the question of the dates of the strategic sitting, if it could be consulted with our offices, because I don't want to clash and then our availability then be questioned, or non-availability be questioned, if whoever is planning can really in consultation with the ministry and the Office of the National Commission.
Honorable Minister, you will find the chairperson doing that herself, so that between the minister, the deputy minister, the national commissioner, and the portfolio committee, we find common ground, and that you have time and we have time, even if it's over a weekend. We have a venue, we have time, and we have sufficient resources for that meeting to happen. I'll be engaging the House chairperson, and we'll prioritize it because obviously we've delayed the strategic session for too long. It cannot be postponed any longer. It is a matter of priority, or else every portfolio committee will turn into this question and answer session. Let us now engage one another so that we can move to get, move forward without these now minds or as the minister has said, there would be certain clarity. Which answers and matters for clarity we should allow the minister to have opportunity to do so. So thanks again. I'm going to close the meeting now, inform you when we're going to have the strat plan, hope to have it in September, and see you again next week. Welcome back, and please let us all understand that this term until the end of the year will be rocky, will be very busy. We'll be expected to meet more than once. And I ask that you be prepared and that you agree that this program will be quite a taxing and engaging one. The meeting is now closed. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much to the National Commissioner and his team. Thank you very much to the Civilian Secretariat. Civilian Secretariat, you will be under tremendous pressure to respond to the requests we have made as a committee. The meeting is now closed. Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Thank you very much.
Recording in progress.